Wonderful. Okay, so hi, I am now about to start a talk with the wonderful Danielle Rickwood from she is known as the abdominal therapist. So welcome, Danielle. I'm so thrilled that you could join me today. I just wanted to ask you some questions all about menstrual cycles so that the ladies could understand a little bit more about the discombobulating menstrual cycle and what we can do. I know you call it peri-power, what we can do through the month in order to harness the different energies that we experience through the month. Because this is the area that you specialize in. Is that right?
Yes, it is very much about aligning what we've got going on the outside with what is actually going on the inside so that they don't clash. Because when you've got this going on, you get the pain stuff. But if you've got more of a symbiotic yin-yang thing going on, not so much. So yeah, very much my thing. And most of my female clients, that tends to be the missing link in their sort of period pain journeys or menstrual strife and mayhem that they're having, is that they are completely working against the internal needs that the cycle is requiring them to honor. And that dishonoring equals the pain and the symptoms and the general disconnect from what is actually, for me, a massive superpower. And to be able to dig up the gifts found in your cycle, it will just literally enhance life, not just for your menstrual life, but every other aspect of your life as well. So I find that it just the ripple effect of working with your cycle, not against it, is life-changing.
I mean, life-changing. So could you just give us a little background, just a little synopsis of why and how you have become so fascinated to the point of literally dedicating your professional career to helping women understand their menstrual cycles? Like, what's your story?
Well, I'm just laughing because I'm just thinking I am actually the uterus at the moment. I've got
the ovaries behind you. Yes. Oh, amazing. So those of you, I'm just going live into my so you can't see, but Danielle has got this beautiful picture behind her of ovaries and fallopian tubes and the uterus, but all is flowers. It's stunning. It's beautiful.
I drew that. No.
I love it. So yeah, tell to me your reason, your fire. Why do you do this?
Well, basically, when you do get sick, if you've got the audit at the moment, but the visual, so what you're seeing as a background at the moment, which is all flowers and just,
I'm just going to turn this around for a second. So can you guys see? No, you can't. Hang on. No, you can't really see that. She's got things coming out of her head.
But yeah, basically that, I'll describe it to you in words, but basically what is sitting behind me is a very pretty kind of female reproductive organ. So you've got lovely flowery, lots of joyfulness that's sort of in colours and just, yeah, you look at it, ooh, that's pretty. And that...
My raincoat behind me.
There looked nothing like that probably about 10 years ago. So covered in weeds, brambles, spikiness, horrid, nasty, vicious. If you were
your
to take
ovaries or your
ovaries, fallopian tubes, uterus, and pretty much sat in a cesspit as well. So just a very toxic environment. And within that toxicity, lots of lovely symptoms flourished. So it's been amazing to go from that kind of like really sort of over sort of grown, weedy, toxic little space to be able to just fully blossom and bloom these ladies into what they are today, which is really, really happy and very sort of, very connected. We're best buddies.
I love how you call your ovary, the ladies.
The ladies.
You refer to your uterus as her. I think that's really nice.
I always sort of picture, you know, when I'm sort of trying to get my head around, and I'll briefly touch upon how we even got to that point, but yeah, I always sort of have to picture them as if they were my girlfriends. So I kind of just sort of picture the uterus, the ovaries, you know, like you would do with any of your girlfriends, you go catch up, you have tea, coffee, and I even sort of pick the children, their little sort of straw hats on, just drinking tea, and just, you know, an opportunity for them just to share, connect what's on their minds. And as you would with the girlfriend, you'd listen, and then you'd sort of, you know, if advice or opinions or guidance was required, you would offer it, but then it would be your turn to just go, well, this is going on for me. So there's a very sort of supportive space. So before all that was going on, yeah, as I said, major issues that really sort of equated to suspected endometriosis.
Endometriosis,
super common. Yeah. A lot of it goes undiagnosed, a lot of it is suspected, and in order to confirm, it's very invasive surgery, which a lot of women, including myself, I chose to sort of look at it in non-invasive ways, but was happy to go down that route if I decided it was something I wanted to do. But it doesn't necessarily solve the problem. So a lot of my female clients will have that procedure. It works for some. And then within a year or two, it grows back again, but doesn't look like this. It's still the weeds and stuff growing back. So So it literally was a journey of throwing quite a few things against the wall to see what kind of stuck. So nutrition and yoga and living in same space as space that Linda live, you know, just a massively, hugely well-being focused part of Sydney. Didn't touch it. So I just had this huge amount of shame. I'd be sitting there, you know, giving nutritional advice with a hot water bottle on my belly and popping ibuprofen, and just felt absolutely like a complete fake and phony, not discussing menstrual issues, but just nutrition, but in so much pain myself. And yeah, just got to a point where I really needed to understand the root cause and why my body was off with this, which took me on a huge journey of not necessarily just mentally, but geographically. I traveled over to Central America and studied under Dr. Rosita Arvigo, applied her techniques to myself first. And
this is the Arvigo abdominal massage technique. Yes, this is quite well known now, isn't it?
Yeah, it is much more well known. The Arvigo techniques of myoabdominal therapy, coined by Dr. Rosita Arvigo, but very much originates from an ancient Mayan technique that was very kindly shared with her, which she's now sort of shared with many, many practitioners around the world. And yeah, began to apply those techniques and practices to myself, and to my absolute delight, my symptoms reduced significantly to the point where I don't suffer from them at all.
I remember you telling me about you had a cyst, which you didn't have to have surgery for. You managed to get rid of the cyst through this incredible Avigo.
Yeah.
An abdominal therapy technique.
Yeah.
Is that right? Yes. And you went back a few times, didn't you? You went back to study with her, once.
I've been out there probably about 2-3 times, and then her institute, which is based in New Jersey, to do further training with her around fertility. But yeah, she really, really inspired me to look beyond, I guess, just the physical aspects of my pain, to just consider the whole gamut. So to look at how I consumed, or how I had been consuming life up until that moment, what would potentially be sitting in my body and producing these symptoms. So again, it was such a holistic view, also looking at areas of neglect. So again, my spirituality, push that to one side. Sorry, girl, not really the done thing. So didn't really have that. So kind of up that a little bit in the way that I was comfortable with. And just, again, understanding hormones and emotions, and just learning to respect the hormones, to not aggravate them, and to support their balancing. And all of that together just allowed this set of incredible organs to kind of flourish. So even the environment that they sat in became less toxic, less stagnant. The negativity that allowed those conditions to thrive in began to just sort of switch into a much more positive space. And, you know, within that sort of environment, you know, dis-ease, sickness, ill health cannot exist. So when I felt it sort of creeping back in again, just kind of knew what I needed to do, kind of reset And again, when I'm aligning with my circle and working with it, when I kind of fall off my menstrual cycle, so to speak, it's easier to just get back on and pedal rather than sort of pedaling far too far down the wrong road and getting to all sorts of strife. So I'm able to sort of pedal myself back on track.
Oh, again. I like that. I like that analogy. That's fantastic. And I love that your approach is so holistic. It's deeply and truly holistic. As yoga is, it's knowing that what we think really affects, is the biology of belief, isn't it? What really affects how our body functions, how we look after, and then were you just calling your ovaries your girls and your uterus, yeah, you know, in the feminine pronoun. It's just so lovely how it creates this love of the self.
Yeah.
And even listening to you talk, it just feels right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're such in a patriarchal brain is separate from the body world still, but to really embrace our femininity and our uniqueness as women, and knowing that our organs, our pelvic area is such an integral part of who we are, and to start to embrace it as opposed to being cut off from the tummy button downwards, which so many people are, and, you know, pelvic pain and arthritis and physical symptoms, you know, agitation of the uterus, of the bladder, constipation, all of these things are our body going, please listen, you know, this dis-ease, as you described, this unfeeling of ease.
Yeah.
So continue. Tell me more about what you're doing now, or what you've evolved to doing now, and what you're passionate about.
So just got very, very busy with focusing on sort of abdominal health. So moved from being a nutritionist to really focusing on abdominal therapy. So hence the abdominal therapist, because, you know, it wasn't just about the foods that people were consuming to establish health and well-being, because that would work for a certain amount of time and then the kind of the wheels would fall off again. So to be able to, again, looking at things holistically and realizing that the nutritional needs change through the cycle, as well as the emotional needs, the mental needs, and other physical needs as well. And just to be able to sort of put that into practice. And I know when you were speaking, and it just reminded me of an analogy that I give to my clients now who are on the program that focuses on menstrual well-being, is they always laugh, is to just sort of see this sort of journey is like this huge, great big department store. And I know it's been a bit because of lockdown, but you go into London, they've got all the scaffolding up and then the big sort of banners that say, you know, coming soon, awesome new store, all this sort of stuff. So for me, when I'm working with women who are just starting that journey, I'm like, this is you. So you're this incredible, fabulous kind of like structure. There's some renovations that are occurring internally, but on the mean, you know, just to give yourself the boundaries and the space to heal and to do what's necessary. You're putting up that beautiful sort of, you know, opening soon, whatever it is. But then they laugh because when we go inside that structure, and again, I'm going to bring the uterus, my little friend, in. When I think of menstruation, the word men, menstruation, menstrual cycle, menopause. Yeah. I'm like, fine, we will take that and we will put her in her hard hat. She will be the forewoman in that building with her clipboard. She knows exactly what she needs and what the ovaries need in order to function well. So whether that's whether we're in the early start of our menstrual life or towards the end of our menstrual life, she, out of everybody, is going to know exactly what is needed, and she is therefore guiding what happens. So when we're entering that space, visiting it, we're connecting with her first as the forewoman. And what I kind of also like to pick, she's got this little heart out, and we're walking around with her, and she's taking us to the various, I guess, sort of departments within that department store where, you know, we will visit the, what I call the inner winter department. And within that, there are sections. So you've got the sort of, it's a little bit when I just think, I'm thinking about your lovely sort of event structure you've got going on with women's wellbeing.
Oh, the festivals.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. And also like going to different tents.
Yeah. So yeah, exactly. Yeah. So within that, you're sort of, you know, the first floor is, you know, you're in a winter, so it's a bit dark. And in there, you've got the food hall. So you've got all the foods that relate to supporting the function of menstruation. And then you've got the clothing department, which again, guides women on the clothes that are really lovely to wear during that. So, you know, a lot of women can still continue to wear tight clothing. when really the body's like, can you just wear looser items? Because I'm expanding, I'm meant to expand. The fact that you are keeping me enclosed means that it will hurt even more because you're wearing tight clothing. Just be kind. And again, you know, in the sporting goods department, you know, in a winter section, there isn't the running machines. It's just, you know, maybe yoga mats. So again, it's just to have those sort of visuals of what that can look like for us. And then, you know, she takes us up to the next floor where it's, you know.
So firstly, before you go to the next floor, because this is really nice, I might just, so we're sort of segueing now into talking about what happens in the menstrual cycle, aren't we? Yeah. And you've got this great visual of this department store, and I'm presuming we're going to be going up the floors at different stages of the cycle.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is that right? So right at the beginning, floor one, is when you're actually bleeding, the beginning of your cycle. Yes. And you call that the winter floor, or first floor is the winter.
It's kind of just the basement level. So,
basement,
you know,
level. Okay.
Basement level. So again,
below ground floor, basically.
Below ground, you are in hibernation. There's no natural light.
Just turned and got out of your car and you're in the basement before you got
pretty much you could be in the car park. But yeah, there's no natural light. You've just got, you know, even in that phase, we are encouraged to shift the gaze inward. It's not about how we look on the outside. This is very much about focusing on the internals, all that sort of good stuff. And again, understanding the different aspects within our sort of day-to-day. But also, I think the other important thing to mention here is that your uterus is also very, very aware of what is going on outside of that space as well. So outside of that building analogy, if you like, life continues, and she knows you'll be going back out there, but with that increased knowledge and wisdom as to what she is needing you to do to stay in tune with what's going on internally. Because if we have no idea what's going on inside that building, we will just continue to just sort of make all those decisions and choices that have caused her to become quite sort of disgruntled, I think, because we're not following the guidelines that she's putting out. So again, it is very much about not stopping what we've got going on the outside, but learning how to navigate it and align it with where, if you like, what floor you're on. So to make sure that there is no clashing, that the activity, that if you're going to the sporting goods department and in the winter and you're leaving that building, you're in the appropriate attire to then take up the activities in the outside world that correspond with your inner winter. So, you know, if you're, for example, menstruating, and you decide that you want to go up to the kind of ovulatory department and put on all the clothes there for like major exercise, and then you walk out onto the street and you're doing your 10K runs, and you're actually menstruating internally, it's gonna clash. So
jarring there, isn't it?
Yeah, yes. Really jarring. So it's familiarizing yourself with what those inner season requirements are, so that when you do exit and re-enter into your day-to-day life, that you are honoring that. So you are that voice for that internal world. They kind of really rely on you to be able to, you know, action what they've asked you to do on the outside. And if we don't listen, that is where we really do become, you know, sort of begin to sort of
stabilize, isn't it? The disconnect. So from a hormonal point of view, I guess, you know, I'm thinking about, you know, right, or as we are menstruating, our estrogen, our progesterone, our testosterone has really crashed down, and we do feel like withdrawing and just being quiet and stuff. So what you're saying is our uterus is kind of like the forewoman of this kind of building site, if you like, this structure, and that we need to be tuning in to what she is saying the body needs at this point. Mm-hmm. And the body is saying, internalize, quieten down, listen in, replenish your energy. This is the time for slow yoga, for meditation, for walks in nature. It's not time to go to the sporting. It's not time to be out there doing your HIIT classes and things necessarily. And if you do, what happens if you do push through at this point? What happens if you just go, the group of girls is meeting and or, you know, my friends are all going for a power hike. I should push through. What's going to happen?
If you've got health issues affecting reproductive function or menstrual function, they will let you know by increasing their volume, if you like.
I like that.
I mean, my aim is to go from your organs shouting at you to just talking to gentle, to whisper, to silence, because they don't need to shout. If we are, as I said, continuing to do the same thing, wearing the same clothes, eating the same foods, behaving in the same way throughout an entire sort of menstrual month, even in the run-up to perimenopause, I think it's such a gift that gets, you know, it's such a gift. It's like, and even when we move into perimenopause, we have still got a cyclical, part to us. Again, I always get people to always focus on just the moon's movements as well, because a lot of women can feel quite sad about the closure of that particular chapter of menstrual life. And other people are just super grateful that that gets sort of left behind now. But it's so important to recognize the gift in living more cyclically, because we're given, you know, a chance each and every day to sort of retreat from the world, to rest, and then just replenish ourselves, and then just get back out and rejoice with the world. So we still can do that, because it's so important that we do take time out to just be still, to replenish. I just think if we continue, right, that's it. I still want to go for my 10K power, because everybody's doing it. Know again that they'll be doing it again. Or if we are in alignment with our external and internal world, we can plan. So if someone says to you, Linda, I've got this going on, I'd love to do this, da, 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 you are able to then go, that would be amazing. The weeks that I can do it are here, because you're that in tune with your cycle. And those activities get planned when you're able to do them, if you know that works with everybody else. But either way, you're honoring that. You're not going, oh, damn, that's right in the middle of when I'm meant to be menstruating. Oh, bugger it, I'm still going to do it. It is a mindset, and it's what I call it, a menstrual mindset. And if we can establish that menstrual mindset, you're going to be doing yourself a huge favor, because it overrides the ego of I want to do it, I need to do it, I'm used to doing it. And you know, that only causes disruption and disconnect with that incredible space. When you talk about
Yes, during actual menstruation, and I'm presuming like the day or two beforehand, and you know, when we're actually still menstruating, you're talking about really honoring that stage. I know for myself, if I do push through that stage, I don't then have the benefits of the estrogen starting to rise afterwards and that lovely big burst. But I do find that if I honor when I'm exhausted, and I do a yoga nidra, so I'll make sure in the afternoon I do a nana's nap. I call it nana's nap. Everybody knows I do my nana's nap. If I need to, I will stop things. I will cancel stuff now, because I know the danger of pushing through. And when I do honor that, I find that the next phase, I guess you'd call it the next level up in the building, that's when I've got energy. So tell me about this next phase that we go into after we've menstruated in the cycle of the month.
And you've pretty much described it there. So basically, if you are using that particular week when your body is saying you just need to stop and you need to be still, you're not scraping the barrel. It just stays because if you then move into your next level or your next phase or your next season, which is spring, or just after you bleed, just before you ovulate, that is nasty, because that's just scrapey, scrapey, scrapey. But if you have just remained still, that is just a really fertile ground then for that inner spring phase to kick in. So you've got that ability in your inner winter to really tap into your intuition, to do pie in the sky kind of dreaming, allow that portal to be open. So whether you're journaling, meditating in nature, doing yoga, when you're still, all that stuff will drop in. Your kind of your role, if you like, is to record that, so write it down, and just know not to action it. Just go, oh my gosh, these are amazing ideas and resolutions to issues that I've been struggling with during my menstrual month prior to this. This is my kind of moment. There's a real potency to menstruation, and a gift in getting that clarity, getting that sort of, high vibrational guidance that comes in dreams, just ideas, daydreaming. Again, it's seen as a bad thing for me. That is the goal. So if we allow to daydream more, that is an amazing space just to, again, just jot down the things. Then when you move into that spring or the next level up, This is your time to just start planting those seeds and just watching them grow, and referring back to your notes that you potentially made and thinking, oh my God, that's an amazing idea. I'm going to start now really sort of putting some energy around that in spring, you know, making the context, doing some research around it. That particular week of your cycle is really, really aligned to you just research, your cognitive capacities returning, and you have more physical energy to actually action those things. It's kind of, I liken it also to just that morning time and every sort of day-to-day stuff. You kind of wake up, you're not quite there to run out and do things in the world, but you're just planning your day, getting organized. And then you're really in that next level up. This is the time to just enjoy, I guess, the fruits of that labor. So again, maybe you're wanting to get out in the community, connect with friends and family. This is the time to, you know, champion causes, all that stuff that may have been ideas in your menstrual phase that if you don't honor it, you never would have had access to.
So menstruation is when we have this portal to our higher self.
Yep.
That's the time to be quiet, to journal, to meditate, to get the downloads, get the dreams, get the ideas, get our vision for what we want to create in this world.
Yep.
Once we stop menstruating, we go into the spring phase, so about a week or so of when we suddenly have that spring-like energy and we can start to instigate things. We can start projects. We have the energy to start things, don't we, at that point. Wonderful. No, that's really good.
If you don't,
so then what happens after we?
After that, so if you're skipping that, so you won't even have the ideas because you won't have honored that really special time where you get those incredible dreams, ideas, whatever they are, to then exercise. You end up repeating the same thing, or it just becomes frustrating.
Oh, and like stuck in a rut type thing. So it's so
why is it not changing? Because that part, that incredible gift in that week has been skipped. Or completely flawed by pain because we're not doing the things. So again, when you move out of spring and you're moving into summer, we kind of have that energy of like, we want to play more. It's more of a playful energy. We kind of just sort of park a little bit, the more nitty gritty things of the planning and the researching and the more academia type thing, to just wanting to be out socializing, doing all that sort of stuff. Our hormones are supporting that. Just in our society, but also how we bump up, you know, we've got, you know, estrogen, or what's left of it, just giving us that thicker hair, the nails, the skin looks good. You know, nature is priming us for sort of all that. we look and feel, and we just give off certain hormones. So again, you know, this is a great time to connect with others. And again, my biggest sort of caution around this part of the cycle is don't book anything up in this because you're just excited. And I have a lot of my female clients who will fall off the cycle because in that week they get so excited, they're so happy that everything's just flowing, and they start booking things in for the rest of the menstrual month. So they've booked in the 10K run and it's smack bang when they're having, you know, their bleed because they're so excited, and then they're just like, oh crap. So again, if you've
hang on, that's really important. So can I just dial back? Important for you guys to get. So mid-cycle, when our estrogen is really skyrocketing, obviously it's just going to drop off for a bit when we actually hit ovulation. But just before that, it's peaking here and we feel gorgeous. And that's when we are obviously going to be trying to mate in evolutionary terms. And we're excitable, but that's not the time to then think that this energy is going to continue to then book in, like you say, the 10K run in a week or two, when our hormones will be plummeting again because we're heading towards the next menstrual cycle. So you're saying try to book things to land here or prior in spring, but not later on as we head back towards the menstrual cycle. Is that what you're saying?
So basically, do not let your inner summer version of yourself have any control over the diary because...
Okay, I get it. Yeah, so don't let that mid-cycle self be the person who plans your month because they are in la-la, this is not going to continue land.
Exactly.
They're in
huge crash and burn.
Swinging on the, you know, on the, in summer, imagine, having a great old time.
It's a huge learning curve for a lot of people. They're like, oh my gosh, this is amazing, especially those first 2 weeks, spring and summer. because it feels great, you want it to continue, but nature is not about being on the same. Again, that's very linear.
Well, it's very masculine, isn't it? It's very like we have lived in this patriarchal soup for decades and decades, for centuries, and it's only now our generation is starting to go, we are such unique beings with this extraordinarily unique hormonal cycle. And as you're saying, if you can harness the power of knowing what is going to be likely to happen in different parts of our monthly cycle, it can be really powerful. But if we try and plan things like a man with even testosterone all the time, we're just going to be constantly feeling bad about ourselves because we're constantly going, oh, hang on, where's my energy? I feel dreadful. Everybody else seems to be okay, but I'm not. So what happens after this? Once we've got to this peak, we're partying, we're feeling great. We're obviously not diarizing things right now because that's not realistic. What happens next?
Well, again, probably the ego won't like it, but this is where we begin to take the lift down. So people are like, they're like up on the roof terrace. And then where do you go from there? We're actually going back down.
Down the escalator. the big department store. I love this. We're just like, oh, no. Go down.
And there's a whole other department, which again is all about just dropping our load, letting go, delegating. This is such an important week because if we don't utilize it in the way that it's designed to, what we end up doing is literally staying in that spring, summer and sliding up to the gates of menstruation, falling into that space. And it's a complete disaster because we've still got all the things that need attending to. We haven't planned to support ourselves in this phase. It is an absolute shit show. And then we are scraping the bucket again and pulling ourselves, trying to get back out into spring. We can't. And life just ends up being really topsy turvy. So,
well, that's PMT, isn't it? That's when
PMS is PMS. This is the week where we
tear
ourselves apart. So it's so important to channel, because this is just the nature of that particular phase of the cycle. Channel that need to tear apart, criticize, and judge. And I always say this: just get into kitchen drawers, the bedroom cupboards, anything that just can take you taking out on something. So a reorganization of certain areas of the house or cleaning the car, just something that allows you to just feel that you're expressing that, I've just got to get it organized, rather than just taking it out on a partner, loved one. You begin to sort of critique, and then you do it ourselves. A big thing again, a lot of people doing it more and more these days, digital detox. Just do what you need to, but then just leave everything, social media, all that stuff to one side. So again, just doing the bare minimum. But also this is the week to just delegate so that you can fully move into your menstrual week and rest. So again,
so that fourth week of your monthly cycle, so as we're starting to, the hormones are starting to drop down before so that's often when people have premenstrual tension, start to get snappy and all the rest of it. I guess like you're saying, don't go into your menstrual cycle again with lots of things on your to-do list. Use this week to get stuff, delegate. And use that energy for that you want to declutter, which can come across as being quite short, sharp, and decisive, which can be a good thing in some ways, but use that to maybe, declutter the garage or declutter the drawers or, tidy the house, clean and declutter. Yep. But it's not necessarily a time to be doing your socializing or where you should really be nice. That should be done in mid-cycle when we've got the estrogen to support that that mentality, but now we don't. Yes. Now it's time to
it is in a complete shutdown of socializing. What you tend to find is that you just kind of want to be around the people that know you best. So you don't want to necessarily be on your own, but you kind of want to just be around the people that do know you well. And you're more
so won't think you're a total bitch if
that's all right.
Appreciate that you are a psychical being and that it's all going to be good and a few weeks fine.
So those people resonate well with you in this version of yourself. And strangers will just think you're a nut job. And if we've got partners, maybe they just disappear for, I don't know. But either way, you are surrounding yourself with people who know you well, who just think, this is just, there's nothing bad or negative about it. In fact, you know, if Linda's having a moment where she is into declutter, maybe I'll get her over to sort out my garage. So yeah, you know, it's that kind of thing. Like, really utilize that person's energy to your own benefit as well. But yeah, it is, you know, it's you know, even in summer when you're wanting to sort of cook and feast and all that sort of stuff, batch cooking, really important. And again, you can still do that a little bit in the start of your inner autumn, because people may notice as well, as they move towards menstruation, they get clumsier because the cognitive abilities are beginning to just sort of slow down. The amount of women who report, you know, they've cut themselves, they've knocked themselves, they've fallen over, we just become clumsy, which is why it's so important to just move again towards that basement where you feel safe, so you're not out in the world, you know, fixing, mending, especially towards the end of that in the autumn phase. So
for autumn, so we've come out of summer, now we're heading to autumn.
Yeah, you're letting go, you're dropping your load, you're figuring out what you
actually dumping the leaves, dumping the load. I love that.
Absolutely. Yep. Again, look at the, always look towards nature as well if you're struggling with what to do. Like what does nature do in autumn? It begins to drop its load. It lets go. Okay, sweet. Am I doing that? No, I'm not. I need to look at doing that a little bit more. Because by the time you move into winter, you just want to have the bare essentials with you. You don't need any fancy stuff. You just need to take the bare minimum into that space, and really hold that space, cherish and honor it, so that you can really just sort of collapse into it. Is your place where you can just rejuvenate yourself to rest. If you've got family members, again, allow them to benefit from it as well. So if it's just, you know, cozying up on the couch and watching a movie with your children or your so that they can enjoy also that slowing down, rather than can we do this, can we do that, it's like sure, next week, no problem. Or if we need to, again, bringing in our troops just to help us through that, or just showing up briefly if we really need to do something, and then just putting the boundaries around that and coming away. Because if we don't, again, that women, I would call it menstruation at work with their little hard hat, is like, you know, this is not meant to be happening as an ongoing thing through winter. Yes, she gets that, you know, life does come along and it does throw some curveballs, and we do have to respond in a way that we perhaps isn't conducive to, say, in a winter, we have to suddenly find all this energy and cognitive because something comes into our life. That's normal. But if these things aren't happening and we still can't do that, we need to look at what's going on for ourselves, because we are not in alignment. We are clashing against it. So again, when you get down that escalator and into that sort of cozy basement womb environment,
winter stay when you've got your period again.
Yeah. Exactly. And again, if we struggle and we're a busy person and we're active, look at the pleasure and joy we get out of the season of winter. I mean, lockdown, obviously the long version of that, but you know, it's doing all that really sort of cozy stuff. You know, people get, you know, the jigsaws out, they watch movies, they just, everything's about just internal stuff, staying cozy, and just find, you know, going out for a nice little walk, nothing too major. We don't exert ourselves in winter generally, because it is a time of hibernation. When we look at nature, where does it, we don't see it, it's bare and it's stark, because everything and everybody has hunkered down hibernating, and then you can re-emerge again back in
spring again. Yeah,
oh, you're right. And it's such a gift. If we saw lambs all through the year, I'd be like, well, that's weird.
Yeah.
You know, when we see daffodils out, we're like, oh my gosh, spring's here. It's like, you know, but we've never really see that gift if we've not spent that time indoors and hibernating. So I just think, you know, it is such a gift that women have that ability to cycle, and they very much align with the seasons on the outside. They align with the phases of the moon. Nature's constantly doing it. The cosmos is doing it. The humans come undone because we forget to do it, or we don't want to do it because it doesn't suit us. But ask yourself, you know, what is my physical health like, mental, emotional, spiritual health and well-being? And this is such a gift to honor all of those aspects of yourself, because you get to just play with the different energies of each of those aspects of yourself in four different ways. It's amazing.
Absolutely. Do you know, it's so refreshing hearing you talk like this, because my big thing, really, the reason I started the Women's Wellbeing.me space, and the reason I think that perimenopause is such a huge issue for women now, as we start to talk about our separate needs from men, is that up through the 80s and 90s, wrapped up until quite recently, last few years, I'd say, we have assumed that we have needed to be like a man in a skirt in order to function in our world. And it's only now, and I think it really has been since the Me Too movement, that women are starting to say, hang on a minute, we are worth taking up space as unique beings, and our, like you say, our cycles are so unique and are actually gifts. And this cycle makes us able to create human beings. Mm-hmm. But we're not, we do not have the same relatively linear hormonal profile like men do. Where ours is totally different. Mm-hmm. But actually, isn't that a gift? Because like you said, when we are in that menstrual cycle, the dreams, the vision, the extraordinary connection we have with something that's bigger than ourselves is quite unique. It's quite extraordinary. It is quite beautiful. And if we honor that, we have the replenished hormones as well to go into our spring phase. And we get 200% of stuff done in that first week or so than we would in the prior week. So it's not like over a month we don't get the same amount of stuff as men done. We can. It's only, though, if we honor the replenishment cycle, then we go into the maximum production cycle. Those first 2 weeks, we can be the best coaches, trainers, teachers, communicators in the world in those first couple of weeks. And then we're heading back into autumn. I love the seasonal thing, back into autumn. And that is when we need to start to care for ourselves again. Don't go and push through, because you're going to just deplete your hormones too much if you do. And then we're back again into that winter phase, and then back into spring, back into summer, back into autumn, back into winter. And it's quite beautiful to stop pushing through and expecting ourselves to operate like men and expecting ourselves to constantly have a certain amount of energy, and instead tune into this unique and ultimately freeing, isn't it? I think there's a real freedom and surrender to recognize that our physicality is actually beautiful. When we recognize we are this, you know, we are these natural beings, and there is so much beauty in surrendering into that freedom.
Yeah.
Oh, is there anything else you'd like to just add in before we wrap up?
Yes, there is. When you were just saying about, I think it was just talking about men, but I've sort of grabbed this little lady. I had my little teaching tools in my office here, and I had my youngest nephew who likes to come and hang out in this space, and he saw this little thing and he was like, you know, Auntie, what's that? And I held it up and it's this.
Oh my goodness. So hang on, I'm going to try and turn my phone around so you can, I don't know if you can see that. Can you? It's probably not. It's a big purple fluffy uterus with a bright purple sort of a pinky uterus and fallopian tubes and purple ovaries on the ends, and it's got a little face.
Yeah. Super cute. So this, two little stories related. This little lady was delivered to one of my clinics in Sydney, and I just finished a session with a male client, and I knew what it was, and he was just at the counter paying the receptionist, and I opened it up and this little lady popped out, and he just pulled a face. He was like, what is that? And I just held it. I'm like, this little lady, if it wasn't for this little lady, you wouldn't be here, I wouldn't be here, your wife wouldn't be able to carry your child that she's now carrying. He literally, his face dropped. He emailed me the next day and he said, I went home and I hugged my wife and I rubbed her belly, and I just had this complete different relationship with this little lady as well. And even my little nephew, when he's like, what's that? And I said, you spent 9 months on her. And he just, he was like, really? I was like, yes, you are very special. And you don't have one, but mommy has one, I have one. And he was just like, oh. So again,
that makes me want to cry, dear.
Respect,
you know, and that's honestly my dream. And I know it's your dream, is that woman, you know, our daughters going, I'm like crying now, our daughters grow up going, damn, I'm so lucky I'm a woman, you know, because you can see what phase I'm in the cycle, because I'm a bit emotional right now. But it's so true, you know, like, why are we ashamed of our periods? And why, when we start going, this is extraordinary, this organ enables us to grow human beings.
Yeah.
fuck.
And this little lady, this is the only blood that is shed not from violence, and yet it is given such a bad rap. It is disgusting. Da, 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 da.
Nope. Oh, I like
she's
that.
Just cleaning herself out, ready for the next possible, but she doesn't care.
Plantation. Yep. Woo!
Oh.
You've made me all emotional. Ursula
will give you a big hug.
Thank you. Yeah, it's our prime real estate, isn't it? The pelvic area, it's very, very important. The more love that we can give ourselves and in this area of our bodies. Energetically, if we no longer have her inside us, she's still there energetically. Yeah. And thank you so much for coming and teaching about the cycle, about the different energies that we have through the cycle, and also just your message of honoring the unique female body.
Amazing.
Oh, you're a superstar. Thank you very much. So guys, you can find Danielle's details in the therapy tent within the Women's Wellbeing.me space, and she is an amazing woman. She's has clinics in London, don't you, and in the West Country. But you also Zoom appointments as well.
Absolutely.
Amazing. Yeah. Well, if anyone wants to know more, please look her up. Thank you so much for joining.
Look us up.
Look us up. Uterus as well. Bye.
Bye, love.
Alrighty. Bye, my love. Thank you very, very much.
Pleasure.